Welcome back to the second half hour of our show from the Casbar Lounge here in Las Vegas at the Sahara Hotel and Casino, a convention in town in which lots of spirituality things and ghosts and the supernatural and the paranormal are all being discussed. And the promoter of the convention is Lorraine DeFelice. Now, Lorraine's going to be here, but we're going to talk to her about something else. She has a way to win in Las Vegas. Lorraine, it's always a pleasure to see you. All this time I thought you were a psychic, but you're an astrologer, huh?
Right, I'm an astrologer, and I specialize in gambling astrology. That's finding the times to win.
Well, good. I'll have to talk to you about that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I understand, actually, it's worked pretty well for yourself.
Oh, yes.
Don't you have a car that you won?
Well, actually, I put $5 in the machine. Within 10 minutes, I had $20,000 on there, cashed out, and took the money and paid cash for the little car.
Well, that's a pretty good testimony. I'm impressed. They can go over there to your new website. It's about cruises, right?
Right. We have workshopcruises.com. And four cruises are lined up already for two in September and two in October.
You ought to hold seminars here in Las Vegas and teach people when the time to gamble. I guess, do you do personal services like that? If somebody called you up or wrote you an email, or is that illegal or what?
No, I don't do it anymore. I used to do it, but it got scary because I did it for mostly high rollers, and they got demanding, and then... they would take a plane from New York and they would call me and say, I'm going to be in Las Vegas in 6 hours. I want my wind chart. And if I didn't have time to do it or I couldn't find time to do it, it takes hours and hours, it got scary. And then if I did do it and they came, I had to say my prayers that they would win on time. But they always came back with big tips, so they all won.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I still have my fingers.
Yes. And as far as we know, you're okay with the casinos. No pictures posted anyplace.
Oh, well, I have my pictures on the Gambler's Wall of Fame here and there. Yes, okay. I do win. I win big, but I play big. So they know me.
Well, you wait to. How does that work? You read your own chart and go do it, or what?
Yes, but I don't over abuse it. I'll take $5 and get it up to $100 or a few hundred dollars a day. And
what are you doing this on the slot machine? Or are you playing on the tables or what?
No, not on the tables, because you waste your time on the tables, because you only have you can only win so many times per day, and then it comes in little 4 minute spurts. So at the tables, you might waste your time waiting all day for that perfect win time, and then you find a dealer's making change or switching dealers, shuffling.
Right. You miss the whole thing. Plus, you're betting $2, $5, $10. All of a sudden, you bet $10,000, I might notice.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't overabuse it. I just I play lightly. I don't take more than $5 to $20 a day. And I pick my times. Like today I have, today I have 6 o'clock and 6:44. Oh, you can be a witness at 6:44.
You're right, 6:44 we'll try, because we're going to have dinner over at Arizona Charlie's.
Right,
Rod Davis is here with us, and Rod, come along and watch her.
Since we're going to meet there at 6, I can play my 5:56 to 6. Before you get there.
Okay, well, we'll be looking for you, and you'll come in with a smile.
All right.
Now, what about the cruises? Let's talk about those for a moment. What happens here, and how do they find out about them and all that?
Okay, they can go to the website, www.workshopcruises.com, and we have four cruises presently listed. The first one is September 11th. They're all 7 days, and they're all 3 days at sea. So the workshops will be on the 3 days at sea, and we've got a really good rate. It's $1,299, including airfare and balcony cabins, all your taxes, port fees, transfers, they're all included.
And, of course, those cruises leave from the Caribbean. Lorraine, I thought it was kind of interesting that this English TV show decided to contact you to test out their dream machine. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the dream machine? That's interesting.
So I was supposed to sleep on this pillow that attached to the dream box for 5 days until Monday, November 22nd, at which time we were going to film. And I had no idea of what we were going to film. And I didn't sleep much. I never sleep much. I slept an hour here, 2 hours there.
So that was the first thought when you talked to me about the dream machine. I said, well, my God, this woman never sleeps. I get emails from her at 4 o'clock in the morning.
All right. I stay up 20, 30, 40 hours before I sleep.
How do you function that well? I mean, and you're always fresh. You don't really get... I get buzzed out. What is it, a mental problem that I have? I don't approach it right or what?
No. Well, I think even Einstein says you don't need more than 2 hours of sleep a day. Then, of course, he died when he was 29, didn't he? But anyway, Moon and Gemini people don't need to sleep more than 2 hours a day. And I know quite a few of them, Moon and Gemini. Sandy, my partner Sandy, she has Moon and Gemini. She kept up with my schedule.
Oh, I know, both of you. When Rod Davis introduced me to you over at the Palms, the in place here in Las Vegas, and you guys were talking about what all you were doing, you guys were talking about planning on doing things that, you know, you weren't going to sleep at all at night.
All right,
and
yeah.
You weren't going to play, you were going to be working.
I was up yesterday for like 40-some hours, and then I slept an hour before I had to do my radio show yesterday. And then this morning I slept a couple hours.
Let's talk a little bit more about this dream machine. You have this pillow.
It was like a little plastic pillow with a terry cloth cover, and it had a long wire. And the wire plugged into the little dream box, which was about, a couple inches high, 3 inches wide. It's like a little bigger than a business card, but it was a silver box, and it had a flip switch on it with a green light to let me know when it was on. So I plugged my wire into it. I slept on the pillow the times I did sleep, and then I was to, the instructions were to write down my dreams. And it was really strange because that week I didn't dream as much as I usually do. Like when you don't sleep much.
Yeah, it takes a couple hours, I think, to get into the dream mode.
Well, maybe I don't know. No, because I only sleep 1 or 2 hours here and there. And I do have full dreams. I have a story with my dreams. Well, these dreams that week didn't have a story attached to them. They were just things I saw. And so I wrote down everything in my dream journal, what I had seen. And some were just flashes of things. And so I wrote it down. A couple things didn't move. And twice I saw black and white dreams. I just saw white buildings with a black sky. And I saw black binoculars with a gray background. And so I wrote everything in the dream journal. And then that night we had a get-together and a party at the Bourbon Street for all the presenters that were here that week. And I had to leave the party early, I think it was 8:30, because I had to do the filming at 9. So they put me in makeup from 9 to 9:30. There was a crew of 15 people. My friends who dropped me off were kind of afraid. This was all so secretive. You know, kind of afraid to leave me there. We didn't know. I was afraid to sleep on the dream pillow the first night, I'll tell you. I didn't. I skipped my first hour of sleep. I didn't even sleep on it because I got to thinking, well, what if this is a way to pull my dreams out of me or mind control me or something? Because I didn't know these people, you know. And I searched the internet for Robert Frawley's name, but I was spelling it wrong. I was using a different name, so I couldn't find out about him. If I had the right name, I would have read about him. He was from England, and the production company was Tidal Wave Productions from England. And there was a crew of about 15 people, and they had very professional cameras, just like you see behind the scenes in the movies and the TV. And all these cameras were focused on me. I didn't even meet him until filming time. I didn't talk to him at all. I wasn't allowed to show him or anybody my dream journal. And so makeup was done at 9:30, so we filmed from 9:30 until 11:45. So that was more than 2.5 hours that they did the filming, and it was nonstop. They only stopped a couple times to repeat something, you know, for a few seconds or a minute. And so he came into the room, introduced himself as Robert Frawley. He was very young, I'd say middle 20s, but then the people from England looked younger than they are. But he looked... early 20s, middle 20s. And he was Really? Good looking?
I never thought about them looking younger than they are, but I'm going to start observing that.
Oh, everybody, the girl who did my makeup, I think her name was Sarah May, she looked about middle 20s, and she was, I think she was 45. And then the girl Ann that I had talked to so many times about, the one who lined up all my appointments to give me the dream machine and get me over to the filming, I thought she was about 18 or 20 years old. She said she was 36. They must have...
we're going to have to start bottling that water.
So anyway, Robert Frawley was very polite. Well, all those people there were very polite. When I was leaving, they all introduced themselves. They all said that was a great show, and they were honored to meet me, and I felt like a movie star or something, you know. It was just really neat. But they were all very professional, very polite. As people from England are, they're overly polite, you know, we're not used to that here. But anyway, Robert Frawley was very good looking, dressed, very nice, very polite, very intelligent, I could tell that. And what he did was, he talked to me first about the metaphysical magazine that I've had for 25 years, Esoteric World News, and he talked a little bit about the cruises and the conventions and things that I plan to do. And that's the time when he told me why he chose me, because he checked up on me and checked with people I had known. He knew so much about me, and he told it in that interview that he read about me on the internet and every place. I had published a lot of books too, and I was a printer for many years. And I guess he read some of my magazines, but my magazines were before his time. So what he did was he got a hold of some of them, and he read about me, and then he visited or checked with people who had mentioned, I had mentioned in articles that I'd known, and checked with them to find out more about me, to find out if I was the right person. It sounds like that's why they chose me, because I knew a lot of metaphysical people, and he didn't hear anything bad about me.
Now, did he get the dreams right? The dream machine do the right thing?
Right, and this was the first prototype, and I was the first person to test it. And so that was kind of an honor. So what he did was then he plugged in a wire that had four patches, two to his forehead and two to his temples. And then the other end of the wire was plugged into the same dream machine I had used. Of course, my pillow wasn't plugged into that little hole then. And what he did was he just kept his eyes open, and he looked right at me or around the room with his eyes open, and he read off all my dreams in the order that I wrote them down that I had them, and he even told more about what was in my dreams than I had written down. This was for real. This was amazing.
So, is this his invention, or do you know?
Yes. No, it's his invention. He told me how he came to invent it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I'm still waiting for word from him.
We don't want to get you in too much trouble, but, right, just a little.
Yeah. Well, he said he wouldn't mind if I publicized it. He doesn't really know what the good uses are for this machine. He asked me on the interview that's going to be played on Channel 4 in England, and I'm supposed to get a copy of it. It's going to be a documentary about the dream machine, so he does want to publicize it. But my thoughts were that it could be used for people who are in traumatic situations, that are afraid to go to sleep, who are afraid of their dreams. Maybe they don't remember their dreams. They don't want to remember their dreams. They don't want to go to sleep because they're afraid of their dreams. But if they could sleep on the dream pillow, then he or someone could plug in to find out what it is they're dreaming about and maybe help those kind of people.
Yeah, you got a good point, a good idea there. Our time's almost up, but, you know, let's plug your radio show. You do a pretty good job. In fact, you do a real good job.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it started up again on Fridays, 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 p.m., and it's at alltalkspectrum.net.
alltalkspectrum.net.
Right, that's a new metaphysical channel. And it was alltalkradio.net. I still have 50-some archives on alltalkradio.net, but now my new show is on alltalkspectrum, spectrum.net. And then they could search for The Unconventional, and the archives will be on there forever, I hope.
So mainly you're going to be concentrating on going on these cruises and going down to we'll watch you with your system. You got 4 minutes, you say, a 4 minute window today to win.
Yes, it's 5:56 to 6 o'clock and 6:40 to 6:44.
And your sign is what?
I'm a Gemini. I have 5 planets in Gemini. June 12th.
June 12th. Okay. I'm a Sagittarian. I don't know.
Oh, you're a world traveler and a salesman.
Well, I've been told that before.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Broadcasting from the Casbar Lounge, one of the famous places of all time here in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Sahara Hotel. I'm Jerry Pippin, and one of our regular listeners is a good friend of mine in Muskogee, Oklahoma, Wahoo McDaniel, and you know him, I take it.
Yes, I do. That's my father.
Tell me a little bit about what you're doing here.
I'm going to be doing a series of meditations. One, a Native American-based for healing. Another one to deal with the fairy realm, and another to deal with the phenomena of outer space.
Well, let's take the last first and work right backwards here. The phenomenon of outer space, is, you may or may not know, I do a UFO show. Wahoo knows that.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about the phenomenon of outer space. What are we talking about there?
What I'm going to do in the meditation is open people's ears. We've been receiving messages from outer space from our founding fathers that we have become so busy we no longer hear. So what I'm going to do is calm people down enough to where they can open their ears and maybe receive a message or two. I've been dealing a lot with the Palladians lately, and they think that this is the time to bring this forward.
You know, we talk about that a lot. Tell us a little bit more about what's involved there when you deal with them.
Dealing with them has been a phenomenal experience with me. They come to me in many different states. Just recently, we were in New Hampshire, and I had 24 very strong women in a sweat lodge. And the Palladians entered through the back door of the sweat lodge, joined us in the circle, and did a miraculous healing, intervention healing, for a young woman that was sitting in our lodge. Her father had been diagnosed with a severe, rapid case of colon cancer. They said there was no cure. And the Palladians, there were three of them that sat around the fire, told her that if she would give an inch of her flesh to them to carry back to the stars with them, that they would send the healing to the father. And she did that in the lodge. And
how did that work? I mean, she cut a finger or something? Or
she took a small patch of skin off the top of her hand and gave it to the Palladian, and he carried it back with them. And within 30 days, I received an email from her that her father had been back to the doctor and had been completely cleared of any signs of cancer, miraculously cured, and said that from the evidence they found, that they shouldn't see another sign of it for at least 10, 20 years.
Now what do the Palladians look like when they appear? Always the same, or do they have different entities or different vision? You know, can you reach out and touch them?
Yes, you can actually physically touch these beings. They come in light, surrounded in gold light. They're dressed in white robes. They have white hair. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures, and they're very slow-spoken, but very to the point. And you can tell that you're sitting in the company of spiritual beings that were here way before we were.
I want to get into some of these other things in a moment. People, how would they get in touch with you? Do you have a website or a telephone number or a web address or an email or something? I mean, how do we get in touch with you? And I'm sure a lot of our listeners around the world would like to know.
Sure. We have a website. It's called BearMountainRecords.com. On the sixth page, it has a red button. It says Contact Us. And if you'll hit that button, you can reach us anywhere in the United States. Also, my email address is ministars22@pild.com. net.
And, of course, we have a link on our website for that by this interview, so people will be able to find you when it's been posted. Now, tell me a little bit about you. Let's get into a little bit about you and what you do besides seminars. Do you still entertain?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. An entertainer at heart, always. I'm a legends keeper. I'm a storyteller. Chief White Bear, who's 97 years old, was ready to cross over and had no one to leave his stories and legends to. So he gifted me with each of these legends. I sat down and hand-scribed them out. And now I've saved them for the people and the children on CD form.
So they are available on a CD?
Yes.
Or several, probably.
Several, yes.
And they can find all that information here on your website?
Yes, sir. They can go there and hear the music, hear the stories right there on the website, and order right off the web.
Now, you know, when we listen to a few things that you're talking about here, I want to find out, do you still live in Oklahoma, or you live someplace else?
Yes, I'm still living in Oklahoma.
So do we. Yeah, it's kind of interesting we go 1,270 miles.
I know.
To talk to each other.
16 hours is what it took us to get here.
Right. Well, you make it a little faster than me. It takes me about 18, but I guess I'm an older man. I got to stop more often.
I have a driver.
So where in Oklahoma do you live?
We live in Thaxton, Oklahoma. It's a little bitty farming community right outside
now,
of Watkins.
When we talk about these seminars and these workshops you do, what exactly do you do?
We do all different types of workshops. My companion, Jerry Waxtall, is a drum maker. He teaches you to make your own Native American drum from scratch. He's also a flute maker. And I do prayer fan work. We do sweat lodges for women.
Yeah, you mentioned the sweat lodge up in New Hampshire. Exactly what's involved in that? Do they you set around a lot of hot rocks and sweat or what?
Yes, sir. Lots of hot rocks.
That's what I figured.
We build the sweat.
What's the benefit of that?
Purification.
Thank you, Deborah. Deborah Ministar, interesting woman for sure. This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the Casbar Lounge here at the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas. And got a pretty good crowd here. And in the background, you may hear the band. They're getting ready for Denise Clemente, who is playing right on through New Year's. One of the interesting things about the Casbar Lounge is not only does it not have an admission charge, it doesn't have a minimum for drinks either. You know, the Las Vegas tradition was a two-drink minimum. Well, they've done one better here at the Casbar. You don't have to pay anything. There's a bar right outside, which you can go get your drinks. And a waitress comes in here occasionally. Have you seen her? Maybe I'll retract the question. No, she comes in. We have Gary Hawkins in the audience. He's from Illinois. And Gary does something very interesting. I thought the audience would like to meet him. Listen to this. Gary says he actually catches ghosts. No, I don't know if he uses a trap or he grabs them or what, but he insists that he can catch a ghost. So let's bring him up. Gary Hawkins. What are we going to call him? The ghost catcher?
Tell me, you're the guy that catches ghosts with your hands?
Correct.
How does this work exactly? You sneak up on them? Or, I mean, really?
No, all I got to do is get in range, put my hand on them, and when I do, it's kind of like a magnetic effect. I hang on to them. They cannot get away from me until I let go.
Do you actually see them or just feel them, or how does that work?
Well, when I catch them, it's mostly feel. I feel a shocking sensation in the palm of my hand about the size of a quarter. And when I lock onto one, other people can come up and actually touch it and feel it too.
Where do you find these ghosts? Haunted places usually? Or
usually, but ghosts are everywhere.
Yeah. There may be one in here now, and he's playing a saxophone, right?
Yeah, definitely. Doing a pretty good job of it, too.
Yeah. Speaking of that, any part of the country especially conducive to ghosts, or are they just about everywhere in the world?
About everywhere, but there are some areas that are a little more haunted. Alton, Illinois, which is where I'm from, has been boasted as being possibly the most haunted small town in the United States.
It's Alton, Illinois.
Correct.
And when you say the most haunted, what, you got a lot of old houses there or what?
A lot. It has a lot of history. They've had Confederate prisons there. You know, just a lot of history in general.
When you catch these ghosts, it's kind of like a dog going after a car. What do you do now? After you catch them?
Sometimes I pick up information off of them, but I have worked with other psychics who can actually talk to them while I hold them still and they can't get away.
So a psychic can tune in. They don't make a noise. They're just pushing and shoving or what when you hold on to them?
Well, it depends on the ghost. I have caught some that you would consider a total jerk. And, they cause a little activity, including shocking my hand more. And sometimes people have physically heard them curse me when I've caught them.
Well, now, do you think that everybody turns into a ghost, or is this a certain people, or what happens there? What is a ghost, exactly?
Well, to simplify it, a ghost is simply a person who no longer has a body. As far as whether or not everybody does it, I think it's a conscious choice on that person's part, whether or not they want to come back. So, for instance, let's say you had a wife that was here on Earth, you passed away, you wanted to check on her, you come back and check on her. But you make that decision to do so. That doesn't mean you necessarily will.
Well, you have had communication with these ghosts through psychics, as you say. Anything really surprising found over the year?
No. Mostly we sometimes get names. I'm more interested in, male, female, what they are. Try to figure out why they're here.
And is there a theme about why they're here, an overriding idea? Four or five reasons, or is this, A to Z?
A to Z. I have my own hypothesis, if you will. It's one of those I can't prove until I get to the other side, and I'm not in a real rush to find it out. Well, it has to do with you making a conscious decision. Now, let's say that you die, you go to heaven. Those who believe that, you go to the pearly gates and check in, let's say St. Peter's at the gates, and he says, okay, Jerry, you are due to come in and meet the big guy and be judged in about 24 hours. So we got a waiting room over here, or you can go back to Earth, do whatever you want to do. It's up to you. So you say that you want to go check on this wife, right? So you come back to Earth, but while you're here, 1,000 of our years pass while you're waiting your 24 hours. Because when you get into that realm, you're talking about eternity.
Are there some mean ghosts, just strictly evil ghosts that you run across, or are they just jerks, as you called them earlier?
Well, I actually prefer to call them ghosts with an attitude problem.
Okay.
About 99% of the people you meet are decent human beings. But occasionally you're going to run into just a total idiot that needs an attitude adjustment. Well, if ghosts are just people without bodies anymore, it's going to be the same way on the other side. You're going to carry that personality over. So occasionally you're going to run into an idiot that just has a serious attitude problem. A mean ghost, if you will. And I think it, under my little theory, it still falls into the same thing. They haven't went in and been judged yet, so they can still run free and come back, too. They haven't been put in a lockup yet, so they're still running free.
Have you ever thought about what's going to happen when you pass away? I mean, since you've made a contact with all these ghosts, you think you might be running across them?
Well, what I intend to do, I'm going to travel. There's a lot of places in this world I haven't seen yet, and I figure once I get there, I get on the planes free. So I'm going to go see some places I've never seen before.
Gary, we could spend hours talking to you. People check out his website. Why don't you give it for our radio listeners?
www.proghosthunter.com.
Well, our first hour here at the Sahara at the Casbar Lounge is coming to a screeching halt. Thanks a lot for listening. I'd like to thank Casey Clare and Roberta Scott, our on-location producers. I thought we'd close out. Listen to this. See, we just had the ghost guy catch his ghost. So I thought it'd be a great way to close the show with Bewitched, featuring Frank Sinatra and Patti LaBelle. From that Duets 2 LP of many, many years ago. Until next time, cheers. She's a fool and don't I know it?
show her like a babe in arms.
Love's the same old sad sensation. Lately I've not slept one wink since the silly situation put me on the blink.
I am wild again.
Beguiled again.
A simpering, whimpering child again. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I.
Whoa. Couldn't sleep. Love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I.
I lost my heart, but what of it?
Oh, don't you know the man is cold? I agree.
She might laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on me. I will sing.
I'm gonna sing. Yeah.
Bring spring to her. And long for the day when I cling to her. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.